Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say preview show. We're back after the international break to preview Sunderland's long, long and arduous journey to Plymouth on Saturday afternoon. And I'm joined by two of my friends, Richard and Melissa. Hello. How are we?
Hiya.
Howdy.
You all right?
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
I'm
good.
Yeah. I'm great. Yeah. Day off for me. Brilliant.
No, work for me. Cold, isn't it? Cold today. Windy.
Haven't left the house.
Only left the bins out.
Yeah, bin day. It's a windy one for a bin day.
Yeah, I was quite concerned, and I think my partner's pulled his back trying to like sort our back door out. But apart from that,
there's only blue bin today. Doesn't matter really. It's not real bin day. It's like pseudo bin day.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
We did bin day chat last time, so before we started recording, we were talking about Christmas markets. And they're all largely terrible, I think. But you've just been to the Manchester ones, Melissa.
I have.
Give your review of them.
Well, I used to be absolutely catnip for them. I didn't care what it cost, nor nothing. And I went by myself on Tuesday night. Went for a little stroll and a little roam. And the magic, I think, is truly gone. When you're having to pay £3.50 to get a... Oh, I've got an email. When you're paying £3.50 for a mug as a deposit. £3.50 for a deposit mug, getting a mulled wine with a bit of whiskey in it, and it's like £11.50. And you're like... Really, really, like, barely adequate sausage. That's about it.
We used to go to the Birmingham one, like, quite a lot. And it was all right, right? It was always really busy. It was all right. It was all right for, like, 100 yards. And it's, like, just the same thing. It's like that Peter Cave Olivant's chicken.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the same thing for, like, a mile.
I went to the Manchester one, and it was, like, I had a Yorkshire pudding wrap because I'd seen a video of it on, like, Lad Bible or something. It was terrible. I saw them getting it out, like, getting the Yorkshire pudding out of, like, the supermarket wrapper. Mm. And I thought, your heart's not in this, is it? Like, you're going for pure profit. This is £12. And I'm having it. And it just all falls out the bottom because it's just badly designed. It's not designed for containing. It's not used for a vessel of gravy on the move. Like, it was the worst thing. I was covered in gravy and I had to go to a meeting afterwards. I'm like, it's not a good look.
Really messy. Every kind of item. I went past the Yorkshire pudding place, and the people behind the queue was ridiculous, and they just looked like the saddest, loneliest people, just wishing that Christmas would be over because everyone just looked so run off the feet. And they've got this kind of thing where every year there's something comes out of the blue and it's really popular. So it was the Yorkshire pudding wrap. Last year it was the Korean corn dog. This year it's the waffle chicken sandwich slash that make your own crumble kind of trend, like an apple crumble.
I saw the make your own crumble. That looked pretty good. Then again,
you have to wait for about half a day just to even get a sniff of it. So, for me, Clive. Not anymore.
No, they are just generally a rip-off, really.
I've spent a fortune.
Thousands.
Mm-hmm. I had a better time in the really, really strange Wetherspoons getting changed after a conference I went to this time yesterday just watching people fight each other.
Oh, great.
Oh, loved it. It's the one right on Piccadilly Gardens. This woman was dressed
Oh.
like big.
Oh, is that the
You know
moon
what I
under, is
mean?
it the moon under the water? Is that, is
Yeah.
it? Oh,
I went
yeah.
to the toilets to get changed into comfy stuff to get back on the train. And some woman had threw a pint glass at someone's head. There was no seats left. So I was standing at the bar. A bloke stood next to us and necked a glass of wine in one go and left. She was wearing like a red leather Baker Boy hat and like a Big Bird bright yellow fur coat. And they were like, "Time's time, Sheila." I was like, "Oh God, Sheila. Sheila's known." But yeah, I think I
Well,
enjoyed that more just for the pure entertainment.
if Sheila's, I wonder if Sheila's listening. I wonder if
I
Sheila's
think.
going to Plymouth on Saturday. Do you think Sheila might be going to Plymouth? Richard, you're going to Plymouth on
Going to
Saturday.
Plymouth, yeah, it's exciting. Can't wait. Set off
Maybe you should
tomorrow.
go.
Hey, no, I'm not going by boat. I wish I was.
Yeah.
But actually, there will be a portion of the journey will take place upon the waters. Because we're going down via Cornwall. Which may sound a bit outlandish, but Cornwall's only the other side of the river. So,
Yeah, but it is fair that you're actually going
yeah.
in Plymouth.
I'm kind of doing the thing when you come back on yourself and doing that. So I'm dropping off Mrs. Easterbrook at her grand's, and then getting the ferry back over to Home Park to go and watch the lads. So
Yeah,
very, very
I've done it
exciting.
once. I said I'd do it once and not again.
Might start bouncing on the ferry. Probably sink it, knowing the way it's been going for me at the moment.
It's a good trip actually. Like it's very long. I did it on a train and stayed in London, and it's very far. And the surprising thing is how far it is from London actually. You think, oh well, because you're in London and you sort of think, well, anywhere in the south must be sort of within an hour,
Yeah,
and it's like
it's really
4 hours.
not.
It's
We're
just far away.
going to Bristol tomorrow, staying over in Bristol, then doing the rest of the journey.
It's
And
good
even then,
Bristol.
but
Some
even then, there's
place
still
to
about
get.
3 hours to go from Bristol to where we're going. So, yeah, I'm looking
That's
forward to it, though.
fine.
It's good fun.
That'd be good. That'd be
Lots
good.
of service station banter.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Yeah,
You can
well,
have a mark out of five.
yeah, you'll have to review
Exactly.
the
Yeah.
services.
Yeah,
You're
big
gonna
fan
ruin
of
it and
that.
stop at Wetherby for an hour.
No. If we're stopping anywhere early on, it's going to be Skelton Lake,
Right.
which is my number one services. Beats spots off every services, including middle class, heartthrob, TB. Not a TB fan at all. If you want
It's all right.
if you want to pay a fiver for a Scotch egg, be my guest. But if you
You
want a
do
good
have to do
honest.
that in more services, though, Richard, to be fair.
Actually, it might be more than a fiver. Probably like 8 quid for a Scotch egg now,
Well,
with truffle in it or
there's a
something.
great one just before. It's like sort of like Watford Gap sort of way, and it had a Pizza Express stand in front of it. And I thought, well, we're a city; we don't even have a Pizza Express. So,
Yeah.
what this like little building in the car park's got like more kind of chain restaurant variety than our entire city combined. So, I
There is
don't
one
even
with the Wetherspoons on it, which I feel is
know. Yeah, there
really.
is a.
In
It's down.
Beaconsfield, I think it is.
I can't remember which one it is, but. Well, you could maybe find it, I guess. In terms of the actual match, before people say we've been talking for 12 minutes about service stations,
Yeah.
what shits?
I know. Well, yeah, I've kind of the last game was Birmingham.
Yeah,
Yeah,
about
yeah.
it just
10 years
seems like
ago.
forever ago. Like, I've not really watched any of the
Especially
football.
with it being an early kickoff as well, it feels like it's just faded into the back of my head. I
It
hate
was
that
good.
league.
I enjoyed it. It was good that game. We played really well, I thought, against Birmingham. And it's
Yeah.
I was them actually. It was a shame where that we didn't have a game last weekend, I think, because
Exactly.
like we
We've
just kind of got into a bit of a rhythm and to overcome that little sort of sticky spot we had,
It's
and then
frustrating because it feels
away
like it's
again,
like
so
a,
England can play Malta, and it's like.
yeah, it feels like it's like an international break too far. Like the amount of international breaks where they have one game that means something, then they'll go and play a friendly. Why can't they just work it out that they'll, squeeze those, maybe play three games in an international break spread across the 10 days instead of playing two, COVID, 4 days apart. Just squeeze them a bit and make it one less. And that might free up a little bit of time to have a Christmas break, perhaps. It's just frustrating.
I wouldn't even, it's the fact that they're so heavily compacted, the international breaks. It's like, I'd almost rather miss 2 weeks at the beginning of this, like, once than miss, like, you know what I mean? If they said, look, if they can't fit them all in, or they need to play like 4 games, just play them and then come back for like a midweek, miss like 2 weekends and come back for, I don't know. Because you're getting back into the rhythm then, and it's like, oh, we've played 3 games and now we have to stop again.
Yeah. But at the same time as well, I don't like them at all, really. I understand why we have them. But I guess in a selfish way, you kind of look at sometimes it does us a favour and gives people a little bit more time who don't play at nationals to buy up some time if they're injured. But then you've got Ballard. I know that obviously he seems like it's not as bad as what we automatically assume, because as a Sunderland fan, you hear an injury and you go, oh, there's someone out for a year. But then on the flip side again, I was so happy to hear that Bellingham wasn't going out with England, because that's been an absolute blessing in disguise as soon as I saw it. And it seems like Mowbray's thought and said the same similar today, that it's given him that bit of a break and opportunity to get really, really sharp, and he's not the only one. So entertainment-wise, I just don't see the point. But at the same time, it does sometimes do us a bit of a favour, but it's kind of a bit of a favour.
Yeah, it is. I think the Bellingham point's a good one. I think for him having to go away and then play, like, I don't know if there was supposed to be qualifiers or if it was a tournament or whatever. But for him to have to go away and play like two international games on the back of playing every game for us this season, Richard, I think like that could have been, it might have been one where he come back and probably wasn't going to play on Saturday, because the amount of, he was great against Birmingham, and I wonder how much of that was due to it being Birmingham and like, you know what I mean, the last game before he was suffering from burnout a little bit, definitely before that.
And it's not as if he's in a position that, that requires him to play every game. It's not like someone like Dan Neil, who was a little bit older than him, but he pretty much has to play every game until Corey Evans is fit, really, and probably beyond. With Bellingham, I feel like Tony Mowbray is really good at managing young players and taking them out of the firing line when they need to be. But with Job, it's like he plays every game. He doesn't play the full 90, but he plays every game. He started every game except for he pretty much has, hasn't he?
I think he has, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it seems to be a problem of our own making, but yeah, as Melissa says, it was a blessing in disguise that he didn't have to go away on his international travels, and he'll come back full fitness.
Yeah, there's proper full fitness as well, and you know for a fact that he probably would have had to miss Saturday had he had that sort of schedule. But on a less heartbreaking way, but in more of an irritant way, we've still got players that are going out, like Bennett, who will then come back and automatically say, well, he can't play because he's been out with
Bradley has a virus. So,
oh, what? That sounds like a virus.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know.
Mate sent me a screenshot saying he's returned with a virus. So,
but like malware or something.
I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, he must have had his McAfee.
He's gone outside the firewall area.
Yeah. But that seems to be
a constant. Play the game with the VPN. Right, carry on, sorry.
See.
Oh, but it's even in normal circumstances, I know he isn't particularly involved or expected to start, but it seems to be a consistent thing, especially with him, with the length of travel he tends to do. And sometimes it's kind of just frustrating, even though it doesn't really impact us. It's just the idea of it just irritates us sometimes.
He is an option as well, isn't he? Like, he did well against Southampton when he came. I know he's still very raw, and he doesn't, he's not someone who I kind of even remember half the time, to be honest. But think he's he does seem to always seem to either be traveling somewhere or injured because he's been away somewhere or whatnot. So no, that's a good point. I think in terms of like the Saturday, obviously the suspensions are over. You mentioned Ballard had, I think he'd got a hamstring knock. Like, can you get a knock on your hamstring? Hamstring strain?
Weak,
He
you
didn't
can tweak
play
a hamstring.
anyway. He didn't play against Denmark, I think it was, the other day. So hopefully he's fit for Saturday in the
Yeah, he
heat.
trained today at least.
Oh, did he? Oh, well, there we go. He'll probably be all right then.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
trained today. They said they're not 100% certain, but we'll see. It seems like on in presses when Tony Mowbray says we'll see, it means they are going to play.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely used to get surprised when the team came out, and I was like, I'm sure you said that they weren't 100% okay. And then the comment
Yeah.
fine. So unless you 100% ruled out like Serkin is, you could expect anyone to walk onto that pitch, no matter what what the circumstance of injury
But he's
potentially
very
is.
guarded, isn't he, in his press conferences. He'll always be very coy with the media. Talk to them for an hour, but give them nothing regarding like the fitness of players.
It's like he's going to
Hilarious.
Yeah. Here's a
Big
bag
fan.
of Revels, like distraction, like dead
Yeah.
cat. Brilliant.
And, in who do you think? So obviously, if Ballard and Ballard's fit, who plays centre half? Like, obviously, we had the two new lads in against Birmingham.
I think,
So, didn't go horribly. Well, who would
I
we
think
all pick?
I'd put Luke O'Nien back in.
Yeah.
I know, but I think last week or the weekend before was a bit of a proof of the reason why Tony Mowbray has stuck with those two as a pairing. They work together well. It was a little bit chaotic at times, and Triantis and Seals did grow into the game, and there was obviously Triantis put himself in a position to get on the end of that ball, and obviously it was a big deflection. So that kind of put the gloss a bit on a performance that didn't really set the world alight. I know these players need games, but when you're going away from home, you want to kind of stick with your A game. I think 09 on that on those for those reasons comes back in for me.
I think, like
And
with them two, it wasn't exactly Roberge and Diakite playing at Everton, was
no, 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 no.
it? They were all right, really. Sorry, Melissa.
Oh, not so much. So I think that the only, I'd probably say the same, but I think the only argument you could possibly say for giving Bash a little bit more is that I wouldn't, Plymouth aren't an easy team to go and beat. But say, for example, it's when we go and play Leeds. I think that you need that sort of stability back. Plymouth were probably going to win, but there's still no easy pushover. So I don't know whether it would be 100% a dead cert if we were playing the likes of Leeds. But if it's someone like Plymouth, which I was not having a go, it's just that's where they are on the table, and they're not beating teams. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we're just going to walk all over them, just as a thought. So, but I'd probably still say put O'Neill back in, because you know what he's like. He's like a energizer bunny. While he was suspended, he won't have just been like sitting about just giving encouragement. It's not like he's missed game time, but he won't have missed the usual and the regular. It's not like he's been out with injury or something like that. It's only been one game, but
Yeah, it was a big
it's
game.
felt like longer because of the
So that's
international
been 3 weeks,
break.
hasn't it? Obviously,
I don't
two.
think it'll make that much of a difference.
I wouldn't do. I'd like to see Ballard alongside Seelt. Be interested to see what them two are like. So I would do that. He won't do that though. 09 will play. And midfield, there's probably not going to be that much to change up, really. I thought Roosen, is that how you say his name?
Roosen.
I think I would say Roosen. Oh, I'm not sure how Sunderland's match
I thought
announcer.
he did well. I think he's doing well up front. I think he's like
Yeah.
he's taking up good spaces, and he's I know he was really lucky against Birmingham at the post, didn't he? But he's not
Yeah.
massively involved, but he's just like He's just a foot like he's a fairly experienced footballer who's just doing a good job in it. For me, he plays.
You know, in terms of like contributions and kind of touches in the box and passes and shots, it doesn't, you know, those stats don't really pick out how many defenders he's pulled out of position
No.
by making, you know, runs occupying the defenders, which we haven't really seen since like the likes of Ross Stewart playing up front. You know, Ross Stewart would work the entire back four, not just the two centre halves. He would work them all running across the line. And I think Roussin's probably the closest we've got to that in terms of mobility. I like the look of Mayenda when he came on.
Yeah, I
Just
did. I thought
um,
he was really good.
exactly what I was about to say. Like, he's probably got us excited. Like, that was the first name I kept thinking about when I was thinking about going back into the football for proper. And speaking, I thought was really, really interesting what you said, Matty, as well, was about people who have got football and brains and have got a level head. I thought Dan Neil stepping into that role was, I wasn't exactly expecting him to be shit at it. But he was an absolute joy to watch on that pitch, like leading
Yeah,
from the front. And he just was almost like it just clicked. He just got it on the day.
I really like Neil. It was a nice moment for him, actually. I was seeing captain, which I would leave him as, but
Yeah, me too. He's so good to watch. It's just like he's so comfortable, you know,
yeah.
in and out of position, possession. Never looks flustered. He always picks the right pass. You know, if we saw last season when he'd be caught in possession a couple of times. He's deleted that from his game. He's eradicated it. It's like he was saying a complete midfielder, and the idea that he could grow with us is really exciting. And hopefully he can do that.
No, I really like him. I think he's an excellent footballer. He's a pleasure to watch, actually.
Yeah.
It's really good to watch him
Yeah.
play. It's nice. I hope he.
Just has a smile and ear to ear every time we walk in the stadium light. It's like I cannot wipe the smile off my face just watching how he moves and how he
Well,
thinks.
Jared Gillett managed to do that against.
Well, a lot of people like, there's lots of things people say about Onayen where we were talking about when he gave away a penalty not long back, and it's like certain things bubble under where you think he's going to do something daft. And I don't think you could have said that about Dan Neil when he got sent
Yeah.
off. It was just a complete stupid anomaly that you see years later where you go, how did that happen? It's not kind of a reflection on him or his character or what he's potentially prone to do. That was just a daft moment, but not from him.
He's seen his stink in the Premier League out still, and a referee and his
Yep.
stupid voice all over the VAR recordings.
I put myself on a self-ban.
Really hate him. I have a real problem with, not because of that decision. He's just like comes across as like an abs like a proper arrogant wanker. Like I really don't like him. But that's another bar. I'm not spending another 20 minutes.
I'm on a ban. I've put myself on a ban from talking about referees,
I
apart
talked
from.
about that loser.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
We we did get some, Richard, we get some questions, but I'll do some predictions first before that.
All right.
Well, Melissa, did you say Serkan's definitely out?
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Oh, right. Well, that probably picks the fullbacks would be human. Huggins, who's been brilliant, Huggins. I really like him as well. Lots of praise from me here.
Oh, who are you?
No, we'll see how long this lasts. Yeah, well, do you think we'll win? You think we'll win, Melissa? Yeah.
I think we will win. I think we'll win 3-1. We'll just do the same again. We'll just keep repeating it.
We do seem to be doing that a lot.
We have cheesecake. Win 3-1.
Richard,
I'm going to go with 3-1 again because I got it right last time.
I can't make it. I'm not going to make it a full house.
I
think we'll win. I think we'll win 2-0.
The only team they've beaten.
Richard will get a goal. I think he'll get his goal.
The only teams they've beaten in the last 6 or 7 have been Chef Wed, who everyone has beaten.
Well, they're really good, to be fair. So
yeah, they're the team to watch this season for me.
And Norwich, which they beat Norwich.
Norwich arguably were. They were terrible, Norwich.
They beat Norwich 6-2, which I thought was an interesting one. But yeah, apart from that, the usual kind of characters have all beaten them. So I know we talked about momentum and stuff like that, and like I said, you can't just discourage a team straight off the bat. But I said the last time I was on the pod, we've got a real, not necessarily an opportunity, but it's more like we have to win, I said, the next 3 games before we're going to playing the likes of Leeds and stuff leading into Christmas, because it was 3-3.
Yeah, all over Christmas as well isn't going to be easy. You know, Coventry, well, they've had a rubbish season. It's still them against, you know, it's always a weird game. But yeah, I think we'll win 2-0. Richard, any questions?
Yes, we've had a few. We've had a few questions across both X and Threads, which we are on
Threads, man.
No one replied on Threads, but I'm trying to make it sound like between X and Threads, right. lots of people have asked questions. You can follow us on Threads. It's at
YNC Pod. No one's gonna.
I'm keeping the Threads flag flying high.
You're not gonna make it a thing.
I'm an early adopter.
I'm gonna make Threads happen.
It's good fun. We're doing memes and post a GIF for the year that you were born, that kind of stuff. It's really wholesome. You know, everyone's having a great time. So on X, the bin fire, we've had a question from...
This is
from Adam Theka from the other week that we didn't get to.
Yes, he did, yeah. I was going to... This is replacing my question of the week, actually, because we can leave this open for people to X in as well.
Okay, and people to thread us as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do that, mate.
Yeah. So the question is, your Sunderland five-a-side team, not necessarily the worst, it's a forgot about Sunderland five-a-side team, so not the worst players, just players that we forgot that we had. Example he's given is Mika, Mangan, Arna Riera, Andy Cole, Patrick Mboma.
Robbie Elliott would probably be in there, I think.
Dean, on the theme of Plymouth, someone who is currently at Plymouth that I completely forgot about is Brendan Galloway.
Yes. Yeah.
And I almost went, I'm sure I know that name. Then it clicked, which is pretty shabby.
God, does he play? God, he was ghastly, him. He was awful.
He was sold as like this.
A long
like,
list as well at the time.
It was just dreadful.
Yeah, it was really. Oh, it's a good question. It's one I want to. You're gonna have to think about, because if they spring to mind, then it's like, you didn't forget.
I've
about
got it. One that I was thinking about actually yesterday, coming back from Manchester. I have a yearly thing. I go to this one conference sometimes every year, and I always watch the 98-99 season, end of season champions from start to finish on the train. I don't know why. I just started doing it, and it's just something I have to do. And Carson Fredgaard, he was so excited. He's like, I spoke to Thomas Sorensen and I'm so excited to start.
He's like quite a lot of money for him.
Like, can he get the money? That's what
1.8 million, wasn't it?
I knew it was definitely over a mil. I was like, Peter Reid's like, shaking his hand, showing around the stadium. I just was like, this is so strange. Ricky Sprazier was there as well, and he had really, really, really black hair, like proper spray-man. I just clocked him in the corner of my eye. I was like, is that Ricky Sprazier? Yeah, he didn't even look like the same person.
Mine would be in goal, probably Darren Ward.
It
was not a bad player at all. He got, you know, he was in the promotion winning side under Keane in 2007 and played 33 games. Then we bought Darren Ward, but he came, not Darren Ward, but Craig Gordon. But he did come in the Premier League for a few games. So remember that?
Yeah, he did. I always forget. We had again, not a bad keeper at all. Thomas Meira, I always forget about around that. Sort of a few years prior to Ward. I just forget about him, but he was all right, he was good.
I remember being really excited by Michael Reddy.
Yes.
Thinking he was gonna be like a huge, like, he's, oh, if we lose him, it's going to be like, we've lost such a young talent.
We did indeed lose him to Grimsby Town. then he went and played in the Faroe Islands for a while. So there you go. So he scored against Middlesbrough.
I remember on a night, was it a night match? Was it?
It was a Saturday night, I think. Like a Saturday. I remember watching it at the stadium right at a beam back. And he put the penalty in because Kevin Phillips missed one of his penalties, which he used to do quite a lot. And Reddy put it in. But no, it's a good question. I was tweet us in your forgotten five-a-side teams. I'll probably tweet mine later. Or I'll put it on Threads for Richard.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
You'll get 1,000 replies.
Yeah.
Any more? Yeah, I've got a few. We've got one from at Young Lampton. You've drawn Chris Rigg in the Secret Santa. He's below the legal age for drink, so chocolate liqueurs out of the question, which is a very good point because you can technically get drunk on chocolate liqueurs.
Yeah, if you'd be sick first from the chocolate, though, surely.
Yes, but so yeah, what are you getting, Chris Rigg? Not chocolate liqueurs.
I don't know, like some Playmobil or something, or like Lego.
No, I was thinking something down the same line. Also, I remember winning like champagne truffles, and like when I was in the brownies, and my dad took them off us. I was like, "What's chocolate?" And I got them took off of us.
Pouring the champagne out of them.
I would buy him in the same vein. I buy him a Stretch Armstrong because I don't think he was old enough to have been around when they were there to kind of really inhale that kind of really cheap, horrible synthetic, like stretchy plastic.
No, well, he's what, 16, isn't he?
He's 16. He's
no, but so,
I don't make them anymore.
He's like, 16, so
I'm getting him a Transformer.
When I was younger, there was like my first ever crush in school. I'm talking when I was like 4 or 5 years old, and the guy had a Stretch Armstrong. He really liked Mission Impossible,
real high flyer,
and he liked Jamiroquai. So I thought those three things were the coolest things going.
Yeah, classy guy,
really classy. How am I not with this person?
Would he dance like him as well?
Oh dear, he had a lot of giant hats, but yeah, I just remember thinking, you know what, Stretch Armstrong's cool, really cool.
I was just thinking, Chris Riggs, 16, that means Come Down With Me have been offering the same prize money for longer than Chris Rigg has been on this earth. Come Down With Me was established in 2005. I've seen someone's asked a question based on the back of this.
Which is a good segue into the next question, which is you can only have, no, I'll ask the Come Down With Me question. Who would be the best cook and the worst host if the club went on Come Down With Me? What do you think the winner would spend their £1,000 on?
Well, I think, best, I think Corey Evans, you'd want to go to his, I think he'd be good. Like, I just think it would be like sound going around his for tea. Like something decent. It'd be a laugh. Be now daft. Any like dickheads that turned up as well, it'd be like, nah, lads, sorry. You're not coming in. I just have a feeling that Trey Hume would just be terrible. just all like
it's the disaster.
Awful, like can't like work anything. Doesn't understand like trying to cook stuff, and it's just going wrong. And just is quite angry about it as well. I imagine he'd be sort of furious. And I imagine that, I don't know, say Corey Evans won. Don't know, would he spend his thousands? I think he'd probably donate it to charity, really, because he's a nice guy.
He's one of life's good guys, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think somewhere in my veins, I'm a proper chava at heart. And I think you'd have a crack a night round Pat Oz. I think that
he wouldn't do anything.
He'd order in, but you wouldn't care because you're just like, oh, and you're adorable. And then you'd get like really like old retro shit chava drinks. Like you'd just have like
20.
You'd have like the Cardi Breezes like with a straw in the top and stuff. I just think you'd have a absolutely smashing time in Pat Oz. Like old school, like it, like it's 2003 and
when he was probably born.
Yeah.
he would do like pasta in sauce. But it'd just be straight from the jar.
Yeah. I've made this.
And because he's dead proud of himself, everyone would be proud of him and like overscore him because they just think he's a canny lad. He'd spend £1,000 on them giant hideous coats that you see him in all the time that are like make him look like the Michelin man.
And that's one of my street has one of them. He looks hilarious. Looks like he's been inflated. He's just rolling pastas. Hey,
Johnny Mowbray will be good to come down with me.
I don't think he's one of life's cookers.
Nah, same.
He's one of life's chefs.
I've actually many a moon ago wrote about this, so I may share it again. About Sunderland managers and how they would do on come down.
Oh, you should do that. Yeah, you should definitely.
Oh, I wrote it about 3 years ago.
You should update it and then share it again.
Yeah, definitely. I do have Mowbray on it.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yeah. He literally just become manager.
I think Luke 09 would try too hard. Mm. And he would put a lot of time into making like something really elaborate, like trying to make a panna cotta or trying to make a beef wellington or something. Beef wellington. It would go massively wrong. Everything would go wrong. And he'd be the type that would kick off with everyone at the end of the week when he realized he hasn't won the £1,000. Enjoy the money,
Corey. Well, and then he'd have to spend his £1,000 on lessons because he's got all. What does he say? He's got all the grace of reverse and drum.
Get some lessons in grace and decorum.
Just like what a complete meltdown that is!
Incredible. It's one of the greatest TV moments ever.
Just a mess. And he's come last. It's so funny that he's come last.
There's another woman who's on it called Valerie Singleton. Not that I'm obsessed with her or anything. Is it Valerie?
A celeb.
She's called Valerie. You'll know her face, and she looks a bit like a tanned dinosaur. She's about 60. She makes some corking noises.
I'm gonna go and watch
Come Down With Me. Is there any more questions?
Is Kit Kat chocolate bar or a biscuit?
Oh, depends. Well, Kit Kat Chunky's a chocolate bar and a normal Kit Kat's a biscuit.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Biscuit, 100%.
If a Smurf chokes, what colour did they turn?
They were.
That's from Stephen Scott.
It's a good question.
My brain feels itchy.
Can't see anyone.
She's called Valerie Holiday.
Valerie Holiday. Oh, honestly, what?
She looks like Noel Edmonds.
Someone's sick in a house.
Oh, incredible.
But then the woman who was sick, I think, is passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, was that more? Right.
Preston week, apparently.
Is she the one that went to bed?
Yeah, she went to bed on her own night.
And the guests finished a meal.
They were like sorting out, they were putting like the microwave on and stuff and helping.
Yeah, she has died, yeah. No.
Oh, Valerie.
Not Valerie.
Oh, right.
But, if Valerie had gone, she's still kicking about.
Still waiting for her to come on over. Yeah.
She's got the exact haircut of Noel Edmonds. It's incredible.
I hate Noel Edmonds. I've got a problem with the new deal of No Deal as well because it reduced the price by a whopping £150,000.
They've reduced it by that much.
The top box is 100 grand now.
Well, apparently on Tenable, the top prize is 150 grand. They can't be affording that, surely. The daytime TV show.
We were talking about inflation and game shows. And when Dale and Oil came out, I think 2007, maybe, or maybe 2000, maybe been earlier than that. That was like the $250,000 there would be worth like about £480,000 now. And they've just completely just like reduced it by essentially 400 grand, the price.
Also, as well, on kind of a reflection across the pond, happy Thanksgiving also to our friends across Linden, our cowboys Linden and cowgirls. Yeah, I hope that your shit mix of sweet potato and marshmallows went down like a turkey. But I think that the one in America, the one where they don't have contestants, they have women opening the boxes, like really glamorous looking women. And the prize money is $1 million for comparison.
Well, who wants to be a millionaire still flying the flag, I guess.
But Ollie Mers was on it before he got famous. It's just like proper anyone who got famous and is a complete nerd, you look back and they've all been on Deal or No Deal. So.
Well, I was watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night and Mark Labette from The Chase was on there.
Was he? Was he a guest? I mean,
it
wasn't a presenter.
It was before he was, like, famous.
Yeah.
He won £32,000. It wasn't that good, actually, to be honest. He used the lifeline to get to a grand.
Do you know that he's not called The Beast because he's a big guy?
It's Labette's French.
Yeah, Labette's French. Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought it was just a really cruel name.
It's pure mind blowing. The darkest story I wouldn't be very happy with. So, like, I think some of them are quite actually really rude, but I just deal with it.
Yeah, I was sort of often thought that. Has anyone mentioned that, or is it just sort of
imposed racism?
Yeah, sort of. Should we say something about them? Anything else to add before we leave?
I've got nothing.
I've got something slight just because of the... I was talking to you this, last week, Matty, about something I wanted to introduce to the pod.
Sorry, I've forgotten about that.
I haven't done any sort of quiz element to it, but it could potentially be a thing. But one of my favourite pastimes is reading, like, you know, when, like, no offence. I know I've got a journalism background as well. But, you know, when, like, local papers do, this person supports this team, and it's like, we've been told that like Patrick Stewart and Mark Webber support them, and like it's like Fat Man Scoop supports Leighton Orient because he went on Soccer AM like 20 years ago and picked it out of that. So I was reading and came up about who supports Plymouth in Birmingham, but Birmingham literally had no one. The most famous was Jasper Carrot. Right. Who is my favorite?
Golden ball, bring golden balls back.
Oh, he's probably the best person I know named after a vegetable. But Plymouth have got quite a myriad, some really boring ones. So Jeff Brazier's a Plymouth fan,
right.
Josh Williams a Plymouth fan, but they have got a very, very intense claim that Jason Derulo is also a Plymouth fan. And to quote the Plymouth Argyle Twitter and Plymouth Live, the Ryden solo star, Ryden with no G, because it's cool, is believed to have followed the Plymouth Argyle Twitter in 2014, potentially by accident, potentially not. So they said it's not known if the star intentionally meant to follow the club. The Plymouth Argyle Twitter account tweeted him to ask him his thoughts on the upcoming game. They had no response. Plymouth do not follow him back for that reason.
I think it sounds like he probably is a Plymouth fan based on it.
Just doesn't want people to know it. He wants it on the down low. He likes to keep it to himself. It's his own guilty pleasure. In the same way that I follow the Las Vegas Golden Knights and they went on to be the best ice hockey team going, but that wasn't a mistake. 100% was that a mistake? It wasn't a slip. It wasn't a slip of the finger.
Well, if you know any other famous Plymouth Argyle, or if you are a famous Plymouth Argyle fan, then do tweet specifically Melissa
Are you more famous than Jason Derulo? And do you?
I think most people
like
listening to this are. I
do
think
you like them on purpose, not by accident?
So
more on famous fans as we traverse.
Yeah, this will be a regular feature now. I quite like it. It's good. That was a nice way to end on Jason Derulo. We'll have Jason Derulo to play us out, and all that's left to say is enjoy your really, really quite long journey down to Plymouth.
The big one.
Yeah, and we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.